So welcome to another episode of Fourth and Wine, and thank you for tuning in. Y'all probably thought I wasn't going to give y'all something during this bye week, but I got something for you. No, I always got something to say. I enjoy coming here and talking football, discovering new wines, and I have been pretty busy lately, but I figured let's get something in. I know it's a little late in the week, and I've missed a ton of stuff, but we will be filling you in, getting caught up. I can't wait for some of the things I have in the pipeline when it comes to Fourth and Wine, some of the content, and some of the fun things we're just going to do around the show and my Instagram pages. So make sure you follow at Fourth and Wine and at For the Bird Sports on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. But anyway, let's get into it. You are checking out Fourth and Wine. All right. So thank you for tuning in. I'm going to start the show off first by saying my dog, Sunny, is in the background and Sis is still awake. She should be in bed. And that'll happen a few times. There are people in the hall, so she is definitely going to be barking a couple times. So enjoy. Enjoy the barks of Sunny this episode. But let's get into it. I'm a little uncomfortable this go round. I'm in the process of moving. And if you did not know, I recently got engaged. So yay. Yay me. That sounds not exciting at all. No, but I'm really happy. Recently got engaged, doing a lot. So I've been super busy. So I'm glad I'm able to get this episode in and chat and talk with you guys. So this week on Fourth and Wine, we are going to be talking about another Sauvignon Blanc. And now in, I believe it might have been episode two, we tried the Sauvignon Blanc, and we are going to try a new one. So this Sauvignon Blanc is called Cloudbreak. It is harvested in California. This wine, these grapes came from the year 2022. That is the year this beautiful bottle was harvested. And it's about $10. Y'all know I don't spend a ton of money on wine yet. As I'm learning and figuring out things, I'm trying out a variety of things. And I want to offer you guys some affordable wines that you can enjoy, sip on, have with your dinner casually. So that's what I'm here to give. Sauvignon Blanc is a leading wine in California. This particular Sauvignon Blanc is known to be crisp. Sauvignon Blanc can tend to be acidic. It does go well with some of your lighter foods, seafoods, shrimp, mussels, light pasta dishes. You know the drill when it comes to white wines. But anyway, I've been learning and reading a lot about wines recently, and I learned that when a wine has an alcohol content of 15 or more, it tends to lose its flavor, its reach. It isn't as enjoyable. You can't taste a lot of the components of the wine. So yeah, it loses its flavor the more alcoholic that it gets, the higher the alcohol content, because then you tend to just taste the alcohol. Let's talk a little bit about the bottle and the labeling. So again, this is Cloudbreak Sauvignon Blanc, made in California. This bottle is simple, clear bottle. The front label is white with translucent clouds on the front. Simple Cloudbreak written on the front, with Sauvignon Blanc written in cursive. It has a black. Yes, it's black. Y'all, sometimes I feel like I could be a little colorblind because I thought this was navy. Is it navy? No, that's definitely black. Black and gold trim on the label. White label, simple. But let's try this one out and I'll give you my thoughts. So let's review. It is a stronger wine. It does have a higher alcohol content, 13%. But I can still taste the sweetness. I can still taste the citrus in the wine. It is crisp, very acidic, but it lingers. And not in a bad way. It leaves a nice taste in your mouth. And many white wine varieties can be acidic, but this one has the right amount, but it is definitely a little stronger. I feel like I can feel the warmth in my body when I drink this. But if I have to give this wine a star rating out of 5, it'll be 2.7 out of 5 stars. So I think this is a very decent wine, very good wine. Something for you to try if you're trying Sauvignon Blanc for the very first time. I recommend going out to buy it. It's only $10. You can find it at your local supermarkets, grocery stores, because now in PA you can get wine and beer at the markets. So go check it out. Now let's talk about some of the things that I have missed chatting with you guys about over the last week. So the Eagles were on a bye. They did not have a game last week, so a bye week. So let's get into a few things that I have not been able to chat with you guys about over the last week. I've been so busy. But anyway, let's talk about the number one hot topic that was being talked about at the beginning of the bye after our week 4 loss to the Buccaneers. Darius Slay went on Micah Parsons' podcast. So here's the situation. Darius Slay and Micah Parsons both have podcasts that they do during the season, which is fine. I don't mind. You know, they keep in touch. They talk. They give their perspectives, whatever. But Micah Parsons invited Darius Slay on his podcast after our week 4 loss. And Micah had a few things to say. So on Micah Parsons' podcast, Darius Slay said this, and I quote, "Eight gonna bring the noise, eight gonna bring the energy, and eight gonna bring all the trash talking that half the team's not doing. So he fulfills that need for us. But you know, you gonna talk, you gotta back it up at some point in time. And if you don't, he know for sure that media gonna catch it. Gonna catch it on attention, and he gotta be ready to answer." Now, if you don't know, 8 is CJGJ. He is the DB and safety for the Philadelphia Eagles. So over this past season, CJGJ has had 21 tackles, 2 defended passes in the last 4 games. So to give you a little bit more of a backstory, Micah and CJGJ were going back and forth on social media before Darius Slay went on this podcast, and things got a little bit heated. So let's say that there's some animosity between Micah Parsons and CJGJ. Also, they are division rivals. Micah Parsons plays for the Dallas Cowboys. However, shortly after our week 4 loss to the Buccaneers, a horrific and embarrassing loss to the Buccaneers, Darius Slay decides to go on his friend Micah Parsons' podcast, a division rival, and engages in conversation where they laugh and talk about CJGJ giving up a touchdown from Sunday's game against the Bucs. I'm going to just say it plain and simple. It's not a good look, Darius. It is not a good look. Slay, excuse me. It is not a good look. And here's my problem. I don't care if these guys have a podcast and this is something that they do in their free time. And a lot of the media is complaining because they feel like, oh, Darius Slay has his podcast. It's distracting, yada, yada, yada. Look, I don't care. Because let's be real. Jason Kelce had a podcast last season with his brother. No one considered it distracting. So I don't have a problem with them having a podcast, but here are my issues. This is a division rival team. Why are you on his podcast after an embarrassing loss like we had, and then laughing about moments where your teammate, as the captain, your teammate gave up touchdown? and you're laughing about missed tackles. This was a poor decision on Darius Slay's part. Poor decision and poor taste. And then CJDJ sees this. And he's like, damn, bro. Like, as your teammate, I'm already embarrassed that I gave up a touchdown. I'm already embarrassed by my play. But if you want to hold me accountable in the locker room. Call me. Don't go on a division rival, the Cowboys at that. It's not just any old division rival. It is the Cowboys. It is Michael Parsons' podcast. And then you call me out. Then shortly after the game also, Darius Slay went on Twitter and started telling people like, when you talk about me, make sure you talk about my Pro Bowls and this and my accolades. And yes, you are a Pro Bowler. No one is taking that away from you. A lot of Eagles fans can be harsh, to put it nicely. But we're talking about the here and the now. Hold yourself accountable. Hold your teammate accountable, but not on social media in the embarrassing fashion that you did because you knew he would see it. And he didn't. I'm sure he didn't enjoy it. You calling him out and laughing at him on a podcast with Micah. It looks crazy. Later, Darius Slay addressed his comments and pretty much just said, you know, I'm human. And the media can be very hard on me at times, you know, and I hope his mental is cool. But I just didn't appreciate how he went about it. His laughter, just being too jovial on Micah's podcast, coming at your teammate. It was in poor taste. And there she goes, barking. Since we are on the topic of social media, video clips, and things going viral, let's also talk about last game. Let's talk about a specific clip from last game. So there is this clip going around on the internet right now where Avonte Maddox is talking with Bucks wide receiver Mike Evans, and he's talking about gaming during the game. And he says, hey, you still be gaming? And then Mike Evans responds that he does, yada, 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 and he'll get up with them and they can play Fortnite together. So while the exchange is innocent enough and nothing about the exchange is bad, I'm sure they talk all the time on the field. You out there playing for a few hours. I'm sure conversations happen. But during the exchange, bro, we are getting cooked. Our secondary is getting cooked, figuratively and literally. The Bucks game was hot as hell. Folks were passing out, needing IVs. We were baking out there. And we were giving up touchdowns. And you talking about gaming? Gaming? We talking about gaming? Not the current game that we playing. We talking about gaming? But no. Mike Evans' stats during that game, he had 8 receptions for 94 yards and 1 touchdown. And we talking about gaming? It's just funny. It's just funny because I feel like some of the players need to learn a little bit about trash talk, a little bit about, you know, having a little dog in them, having a little fight in them. CJDJ and Q need to get with their teammates and teach them, you know, how to have a little fight in them. Like this, I'm not your friend out here. When we are playing during these 4 quarters, we are not friends. I have nothing to say to you unless it's something to tear you down. I'm so serious. Now, since Avonte was so worried about gaming, he'll now be sitting on the bench. And the two probably are not correlated, but I related them. So week 6, today it was announced that Avonte Maddox starting job is going to Cooper DeJean, who will be starting against the Browns. Now, last week we saw Cooper. He was playing punt returner, which looked a mess. Special teams looked horrific. But this will be something new that we see. Cooper starting. We'll see how he handles the pressure. I think it's a good time for him to start. And I say this because we are playing the Browns, and they have not been playing well this season. So I think this is a good opportunity for him to get his feet wet, to get settled in. He's had a few weeks to learn behind a few of the veteran guys. But I'll be honest, I haven't seen a lot from Cooper in this preseason. Now, I will preface this with saying he was injured during training camp. So as soon as he got to the Eagles, he suffered an injury during the summer. So he really didn't get a lot of practice, didn't get a feel for some of the things during training camp. And he only played the last preseason game of the season. So I'm really interested to see how he handles Sunday. What I have noticed, though, about Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator, he don't care. He don't care. He do not care. He don't care who you are. He's playing whoever he thinks is going to win. He'll bench anybody. He don't care. But now that Avante Maddox will not be starting on Sunday, there has been some speculation about him. So with the trade deadline approaching November 5th, there has been some speculation that Avante Maddox might be on the trading block. And it is said that it is likely if Cooper DeJean performs well, James Bradberry comes back from injury, that Avante Maddox will possibly be up and open to discussions of trade to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this is interesting because the Baltimore Ravens do have a need right now. Marlon Humphrey, he is injured. He did not participate in practice today, which is Wednesday. He's out with an ankle injury. Arthur Millett has a knee injury. He did not participate in practice today. So there is an opportunity there. And the Ravens are also not an NFC team. They're an AFC. So it's not a team that the Eagles typically have to worry about until week 13 this year, and or if both teams make it to a Super Bowl. So I'm interested to see what the Eagles decide here with Avante Maddox based on Cooper DeJean, how that plays out, and James Bradberry returning. I'm interested to see where this goes. Now, just to go back, I'm going to talk about this really quick because I haven't set up much for this, but I talked about how Vic Fangio does not care. My man don't care. He will do what he needs to do. And I kept saying something was a little off, and something indeed was off because the Eagles have released Devin White. Now, let me make sure I am quoting this correctly. Devin White, who just signed with the Eagles from Tampa Bay, signed a 1-year, $4 million with $3.5 million guaranteed, and he did not play a single snap with the Philadelphia Eagles. Devin White lost his starting job to N'Kobe Dean at some point during training camp. It was a shock to me because reading a lot of the reports and the reviews of training camp, Devin White seemed to be the front runner. But then N'Kobe Dean, I guess, beat him out. You know, fight for your spot. But with that being said, I don't think Devin White was too happy about that. And I watched an interview with him on The Pivot saying how he matured and he's ready to start over and ready for a fresh start. And he felt like this was the place to do it. But if he got upset over not having that starting job, I don't know how much maturity came, you know, from him in Tampa. It doesn't seem like much growth happened there. But I don't know that man from a can of paint. But that is my thoughts on Devin White. Clearly, there was something there. The Eagles weren't too high or too keen on him and vice versa. So that relationship is now done. We'll sign him very soon. Now let's talk a little bit about the press conferences after last week's game. So let's start off with Nick Sirianni. He was asked, how do you make adjustments to get the game back on track? He said, you know, you try to put guys in the right position to succeed, and the encouragement and hope and yell and inspire. And then he was asked, how do you make a decision to know which direction you go in? And he said, it's just a feel. And I don't know why, but I hated this answer. Sir, use your analytics, use your coordinators. I don't know. I don't want you to feel anything. I want you to know. I get sometimes in sports, like, you can't predict everything, but I need you to strategically have an answer for me. How do you make adjustments? Not you having a feeling. Those are the kind of answers that I expect, but I sometimes feel like Nick Sirianni is not an eloquent speaker. I think he struggles with his wording. He leaves the door open for us to interpret things a lot of the time as we choose. Or he talks a lot and then he begins to dig himself into like this hole, which pegs another question, which leads to confusion and digs another hole here. I think that is some of his downfall. And also Coach Sirianni, as you know, always talks about accountability. He says everyone needs to take accountability and everyone does hold each other accountable. I don't know if I agree with that fully. At least I don't see it, but I'm not in that locker room. I don't know how these team meetings go. But I need this team to really begin to hold each other accountable. And I need to see a leader here. Then he says again, he's only going to ever talk about what he does poorly. He's never going to point the finger. He's never going to put the blame on someone else. And honestly, I don't think he should, but I think he should share moments where he does do well. Don't just share the moments where you don't have a great game or you don't succeed. Don't say, that was on me. Yes, hold yourself accountable, but then say, yeah, you know, I worked with X coordinator on this play and it worked out and we really gained some yardage and I was really proud of this. So now, noticing from this press conference, Coach Sirianni is never going to let the media in 100%. And I'm starting to realize that. I think he keeps a lot of things secret. We'll never know the full game plan, which is fine because we shouldn't, because other teams are listening as well. But I think he should let us in a little more when saying, like, you know, this player, we'll talk with them, or like that. I know speaking with Jalen, there's some things that he wants back, some things that he wish he could have done better. And we are going to address these things rather than him taking the full burden on his shoulders all the time. I know that is what comes with being a head coach. But sometimes I just want him to be a little bit more realistic about how he holds his players accountable and what he truly sees. Now, you know, every single week the media is going to ask him about the game plan and how much he was a part of the game plan. He talks about how he collaborates with Kellen on the game plan and he consults with Vic sometimes on the game plan as well. Now, Coach Sirianni is an offensive mind. He was offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts before coming to Philadelphia. And he talks a little bit in this press conference about how they come up with the game plan together. And I think he should help come up with the game plan. A lot of people and fans don't think he should be a part of it. But as the head coach, he deserves to be a part of this. But during the game, as I said on my previous podcast, I think we should allow the coordinators to make the decisions that they need to. The only thing Coach Sirianni should be doing during the game is managing the game. Now, when he is asked about Jalen's performance, he focused on the team's overall consistency instead of giving a direct answer about Jalen. But I just chalk that up to media presence. He's not going to bash or throw his quarterback under the bus in front of the media, knowing Philadelphia. But he mentioned, you know, the team will use this bye week to address turnovers, that the team needs to protect the ball better. He constantly said, you know, the team is only 2-2, and kind of downplayed a lot of concerns about losing and being 2-2 and about the turnover battle. I feel like he's not considering the full context of how the Eagles have been losing this season and last. And I think last season sits on our mind so much, which is why we still harbor on it, because we were 10-1 and by the end of the season we were 11-6. Like, we went on a serious losing streak. And I feel like in 2-2 in a regular world, no one would be worried. But when the rest of your division is performing well, the Cowboys are what, 3-2? And the freaking Commanders are 4-1. You should be very worried. Now, some of my personal thoughts on Coach Sirianni is that he lacks a little bit of confidence in his role. So I feel like from last season, he is a bit embarrassed. The media kind of embarrassed him last season. Maybe the organization and how the end of the season was handled when it came to Coach Sirianni and Howie Roseman and how the first press conference back all went. Felt like his job was in jeopardy and he might have lost his job after the last season. And I feel this is, and I told you I don't even like when Sirianni feels things, but I can feel things because I'm just giving my opinion. I feel like he doesn't have the full respect of the locker room because he's unsure of himself. Now, everything I listen to and hear, I heard an interview with Vinnie Curry, who played for the Eagles from 2012 to 2017 for his first stint. Vinnie Curry talked about how everyone loves the coach. So a lot of this is just my pure assumption, but it looks like he doesn't have their respect. And I feel like Coach Sirianni struggles with imposter syndrome, which comes from feeling like you're in a room where you don't belong. And it's like, dude, you belong here. You got the job. You belong here. Act like it, be it, sit in that, live in that, and own it. I feel like he needs to find his identity as a coach, which will help the Eagles find their identity as a team. Moving along, Kellen Moore also did a press conference after the game, and he talked a lot about being able to identify the defenses a lot better, which I think is very important. And he said, you know, presentation is different, but football is the same. And he wasn't surprised. He just feels like, you know, the team just needs to make better adjustments. And it starts with him. I don't hate what he said. You know, I just hope he is holding himself accountable along with his players. He talked a lot about coaching up and making sure they handled the turnover battle. He talked about that being a very big focus during this bye week. So we'll see how they come out in week 6. And he talked that coaching was the reason for a lot of these turnovers. He didn't put his players in the right position to do what they needed to do to execute. And he took all the blame. And that's true. But at the end of the day, Kellen, you're not on the field. Your guys have got to protect the ball. I get that there are situations that they will be in because of a play that you called that might not be ideal. But hold on to the football. Now, let's talk a little bit about special teams because we know they did not look good either. Now, Michael Clay is a special teams coordinator and coach, and he talked a little bit about Isaiah Rogers' play and said when Isaiah mentioned that he didn't understand something, he felt like that was on him. So this is a running theme with all the coaches. They are taking accountability and holding themselves accountable. We'll say it again, I need them to hold the players accountable as well. But he said that he needs to be able to communicate things a little bit better because if he has a player that's not understanding something, then that falls on him. And I 100% agree. He does need to coach a little bit better because there is no reason that Cooper and Keely Ringo are running into each other or that Isaiah Rogers trying to outsmart the refs and, you know, the other team pushes a defensive player into Cooper DeJean. And when things look that way, that is usually due to coaching. Now, ultimately, I know the coaches aren't going to throw the players under the bus, especially not to the media. But I just feel like we need to be honest with the media and ourselves that sometimes the play just isn't there. Like, hey, we put these players in position and then unfortunately they didn't execute well. And I feel like the coach who did that the best was Vic Fangio. So in his interview after the Bucks game, he talked about how the team missed 15 tackles because players left their feet. They didn't wrap up. He admitted it. He didn't throw anyone under the bus by saying this. He just said, this is something that we need to do a lot better. Then he also talked about himself, holding himself accountable and how in the first three games, you know, the Eagles played more man than we did in week four. He said that the Eagles coverage, since we were playing so far back, we weren't as tight as we usually are. You know, the defense kind of got some things away from him and things began to snowball a bit out of control. And I definitely would agree with him here. He talked a little bit about how Sidney Brown, you know, would be coming back and his practice window had opened up over the last week. So Sidney Brown returning, we haven't seen Sidney Brown since last year. Sidney Brown hasn't been in training camp. He has been on IR recovering. But Vic Fangio makes a good point. We shouldn't hold Sidney Brown to high expectations because he hasn't played football in months. Almost a year since January, Sidney Brown hasn't played, which is valid. We shouldn't have too many expectations for Sidney Brown coming back. We shouldn't expect them so soon. But I'm excited for Sidney Brown to come back because, one, he tackles. And it'll be good to have some more depth to that DB room. Vic Fangio was also asked about our favorite player. Who we always talking about, y'all? Bryce Huff. Okay. He talked a bit about Bryce Huff, just saying that he thinks Bryce Huff is improving somewhat in certain areas. He said, I think he's improving a lot with the run defense. And, you know, he also mentions that this is new for Bryce Huff, run defense. He said, with his time in New York with the Jets, he was asked to do something a little bit differently. And I think that is a bit true because with the Jets, he had some other talent on his team with like Keenan Williams. These guys, that is a solid defense that they have in New York. And here in Philadelphia, the matchups are just a little bit different. I think he's a little bit smaller than a lot of the matchups he's seeing here compared to the matchups he had in New York. But Bryce Huff, he's got to improve. I've got to see him get to the QB. Josh Sweat finally did last week. Shout out to him. But I'm hoping that that gave them a bit more momentum. I need to see something from the edge rushers. I keep saying every single week, it is just disappointing to give up a player like Hassan Reddick, bring in Bryce Huff to kind of fill that role a little bit along with Josh Sweat and the other pieces that we have on the defense. But bringing him in, you kind of expected him to step up and, you know, be our top edge rusher, him and Josh Sweat combined together. And it's just not happening. Now, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming game against the Cleveland Browns. Week 6, we are playing the Cleveland Browns here at Lincoln Financial Field. The Cleveland Browns are 1-4. Their one win this season so far was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are still third in the AFC North, which they are tied right now with the Bengals, surprisingly. In their division, they have the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bengals. And this season, the Cleveland Browns have had 6 fumbles, 3 turnovers, which is only one less than the Philadelphia Eagles. Deshaun Watson has been sacked 26 times this season. 26. This sounds like an offensive line problem, but I digress and move along. And he has a QBR quarterback rating on the season of 21. Anyway, the Browns just aren't a good team. And the Eagles defense should tear the Browns offense apart. Now, in the Cleveland Browns offense, they are missing Nick Chubb, who is the Cleveland Browns running back, who is a beast, I will say. He is recovering from a serious injury that he suffered in the 2023 season during the week 2 game. And that is the last time Nick Chubb has played. Now, the Cleveland Browns have opened up the practice window for Nick Chubb to return. And he has been practicing, but limited. So I'm not sure on his status for Sunday, but I doubt he plays. I think he does return very soon. Now, the Browns have a horrible offense, but the Browns have a pretty solid defense. Now, they are ranked number 13 in overall defense, only giving up 326 yards this season. They are 8th when it comes to pass defense. However, rushing defense, the Browns are ranked 25th in the league. So with that being said, what do the Eagles need to do? Run the ball. Run the ball. And listen, if we look overall at the Eagles' stats this season when it comes to rushing attempts, out of 252 rushing attempts and passing attempts, the Eagles have run the ball over 47% of the time, which sounds good, right? So it's not that the Eagles aren't running the ball with me. This is my opinion. The Eagles are running the ball almost half the time. It is just more so, when are we doing it? Who's doing it? And how? And why aren't we doing it more than we're passing the ball? This is where identity comes in. The Eagles need an identity. And honestly, it could be running the ball. Because when we run the ball, where we've given it to Saquon, we have seen so much success. Now, with the bye week being over, we do have a lot of players coming back off injury who did not play last week and got to rest a little bit. So like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, they were at practice today, full participants. And we're just waiting for Devontae Smith to clear concussion protocol. He hasn't fully done that yet. But it looks like A.J. Brown, 100%, will be playing on Sunday. Smitty, TBD, if he passes concussion protocol. Getting back our number 1 and 2 wide receivers will be so beneficial. I think this is what Jalen needs. Jalen needs his guy, A.J. Jalen, when A.J. is not playing, does not look good. I'm not sure why that is. I don't want to say it, but I am starting to lose faith in Jalen if A.J. Brown isn't out there. Another person that we have returning back from injury is Lane Johnson, our guy Lane, who is the Eagles' right tackle, and I think this will be good for Jalen as well. Keep him from getting sacked, help his blind spot a little bit. But, you know, for the birds and for the wine, we'll be at the game on Sunday. So look out for me. So if I am yelling, screaming, or saying, go birds, say it back. Don't be rude. Say it back. Anyway, hopefully the next time we are talking and I'm doing this podcast, I'm coming at you and we're talking about a win against the Cleveland Browns. So until next week, thank you for listening. This is Fourth and Wine. I'm out.